You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock with Eric Crocker, finishing up our first week together. If you've missed this entire week, Eric Crocker, my new co-host here every day on Locked On 49ers. And man, this has been fun seeing you in your gym right now, seeing some of your workout vids. I know you're jumping into the slow pitch softball game, which is awesome now. How's everything going for you? You feeling good?
Having a hard time accepting the fact that I'm old now. You know, I just turned 34 years old last week. So, you know, I'm working through it. It takes a little bit longer. It takes a little bit longer to get in shape and feel good again, but I'm working towards it right now.
Happy late birthday to you. Happy birthday to Chris Biederman, 49ers beat writer, who I believe also just turned 34 this week.
Yeah, turned 34 yesterday, which was Wednesday?
Wednesday? I don't even know what day it is. I never know what day it is, because a lot of times on this podcast, we record the night before, so I'm like, in my head, it's Friday, but it's actually Thursday evening when we're recording this, and it always screws me up, so I never really know what day it is ever. But happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Chris. Happy birthday to anybody who's having birthdays. Leo getting pumped for his third birthday coming up in a couple weeks, so that's going to be a lot of fun as well. Let's get into this 49ers stuff. OTAs going on. Jimmy Ward talking to the media yesterday, and he was fired up. He was asking if maybe he might get his hands on a few more footballs in D'Amico Ryan's defense with the 49ers this year.
Hopefully. That's all I got to say, hopefully. But I kind of know, like, my role in his defense now. But, you know, Miko, he's probably going to mix it up and, you know, show me some love, and I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, I want to make Miko look good, and I'm a team player. I always, since I've been in the lead, I've been a team player. So if I got a man coverage, if I got to play in the post and to make the team better, then that's what I'll do. I don't really care about turnovers. I got paid without having a bunch of turnovers. And if I ever get a bunch of turnovers, then hopefully they can call me the best safety in the league. But until then, I'm going to do what I was doing last year and the year after that. I really feel like he's going to use me in some new ways. I can't say it right now. You know, I don't want to give it away. But I feel like he's going to show me some love. You know, it's one way I wish he could use me, but I know I probably won't get used like that. I wish I could be like some other safeties, you know, kind of just sit in there and be a robber, but I'm too athletic for that. I can cover and I can make make open field tackles. So he going to use me where he need me at.
I love that. You could tell how fired up he was because he got really close to the mic and was like leaning up, and you could hear him popping his peas on the microphone because he was stoked. And he gave Grant Cohn a little bit of back and forth. Talked about Cohn's podcast. Shout out to Jimmy Ward if he listens to this podcast. I always trip out on that because I wonder what players go through the podcast and sometimes listen, and it would be funny to actually hear players, especially if you're, you know, ripping them one day or something, or maybe you're talking great about them and they're listening and they're like, "Hey, I like that guy's podcast. He's talking great about me." So that's always funny, and I wonder what 49ers content the players are actually consuming. Because if I was a player, I'd probably try not to listen or read any of it. I don't know how you would feel about that, Croc.
You see it. When I was playing, there wasn't, you know, podcasting wasn't big, so I didn't have to worry about that. But I know my brother actually would search my name on Twitter and see, you know, who was talking about me or what they were saying, and he would respond to everybody. My brother, he's such a big brother, he wants to beat everybody up. I'm like, dude, you can't worry about everything that somebody says about me. Hilarious. But luckily there weren't podcasts, you know, back then. I think with Grant, I think people kind of view him as a little more maybe controversial, I guess.
Yeah.
So maybe that kind of like
he likes to throw it out there a little bit. He likes to stir the pot a little bit, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I think maybe the players know that. So they might listen. They might be a little bit more inclined to listen to him to see, like, okay, what negative things is this guy saying about me? Because I know I'm going to see him in the locker room. So
yeah. And I know, Eric Armstead. Was it Armstead that was the famous one where he kind of went at him a little bit? And it's easier on Twitter, too, because you see something really quick and a player's on there and they see something flash across their timeline and they can respond to it. And that doesn't mean, you know, they're actually listening to anything or even reading their articles, but you see something real quick on Twitter and it might make you want to react and respond to that.
Yeah, I do want to show Grant some love, because Grant, one thing that he does is he talks about it how he sees it. And you either like it or you don't like it. And people loved his glowing video about Trey Lance. Like, he just had this video where he was gushing over Trey Lance. And everybody's like, oh, like, you're finally coming around. And I'm like, he's not coming around. Like, he's not trying to be nice just to be nice. Grant just always talks about what he sees, and sometimes it just doesn't align with how you feel. So then you take it as like him being a certain type of way. But Grant is always Grant, and I think we can all appreciate that.
I think, and Grant has been on the show a couple of times. Shout out to Grant if he's listening. And I think early on in the process with the quarterbacks, he said something about Trey Lance being a glorified running back. He's like, he'd be a great draft pick if you want a running back. So I think that's what people are talking about with him coming around and watching more Trey Lance. And it's probably hard watching these guys in shorts not to be impressed by the guy who's 6'4", 225 with the biggest arm and the most athleticism. Like, this is when someone like that should be able to shine, right?
Yeah, well, it's a lot more fun being able to talk about him and that and, you know, his the eye-popping throws that he's made in practice, driving the balls down the field, as opposed to, you know, Mac Jones. That wouldn't have been much fun, right? Because it's like, well, you kind of know what you're getting.
Yeah, he kind of looks a lot like Jimmy Garoppolo, actually, in worse shape. A less handsome Jimmy Garoppolo, essentially.
But we were supposed to be talking about Ward.
Yeah, back to Jimmy Ward here. Back to Jimmy Ward. And first of all, what'd you think about him? Is he too athletic to be a robber safety? And which you think he's talking about, like Jamal Adams, maybe Tyrann Mathieu, and those types that are allowed to freelance a little bit underneath?
Yeah. No, I don't think he's taking shots, like, because there were a lot of things to take away. This is my first time listening to that just now. There are a lot of different things to kind of take away from that. I'd say the one thing, you know, let's start with the turnovers, right? And I've been critical of Ward and Tart, saying, hey, they don't generate enough takeaways. But I do think that they do their jobs extremely well. I think they've always played very well. I think they've always been good football players. I personally would like to see them take the ball away a little bit more. What he's saying is the defense that they – what they've asked of him to do doesn't really allow him to kind of freelance enough to make those plays. That's what I'm taking from that. I kind of have a hard time with that because, I mean, we saw Earl Thomas take the ball away a good amount of times. And he was a post safety, but he was jumping stuff and robbing stuff, and he was just making plays. So maybe Ward is someone who just is going to do his job and just do that and not so much a little bit more extra. That's kind of what I took away from that. And he does his job well, but I would like to see more takeaways. So that was the first thing I kind of took away from his comments. And the way he came off, between him and Jimmy Garoppolo, they're kind of coming out firing and a little feisty, right? Garoppolo's like, well, I just win. That's what I do. And then now you have him like, I just play good football. I don't know about everybody else. And I'm just like, man.
Jimmy Ward's the longest tenured member of the San Francisco 49ers right now, too, which I didn't realize until this week.
Yeah, I knew it was between like him and Eric Armstead. I think Armstead was like the very next year.
Next year, yeah. They were back-to-back first rounders, 2013, 2014, I think. It's hard to believe because it was just Joe Staley forever. And now that Joe Staley's not around, it's like, oh, yeah, okay. So they almost feel – I feel like Armstead and Ward are somewhat young still. I don't think one of them's even 30 years old.
Tart? Right? When did Tart? Because Tart's right there in that range too.
Tart was, I believe, the Armstead year. He was the second rounder that year.
Okay, yeah, that's
2014.
Right.
2014, yeah. Or no, 2013. No, 2012 was Ward, 2013 was
Armstead? Ward wasn't – I think Ward was 2014. I think Ward was 14.
Yes. Yeah. Armstead 15, Buckner 16. That is correct. Yeah. That's what it was. Anyway, so with Jimmy Ward, he said he didn't want to tell everybody what was in store for him, but the robber role is definitely not in store for him, it sounds like, right? So he's going to be in deep. He's going to be deep safety again, right?
Yeah. I like the robber role, especially in man coverage, you know, giving him the opportunity to kind of, you know, watch the quarterback and get a read on maybe where he's going and jump passes. Did you, I mean, maybe I'm looking too far into this. Is he taking a shot at Robert Saleh at all? Because, you know, it sounds like he's saying that he can do so much more. And it's like, well, they didn't let me do these things. They didn't allow me to be able to free. They didn't allow me to make more plays. It was just like, hey, you're just going to be a post safety. Or you're just going to play man coverage. You're not going to do all this extra stuff that all these other guys get to have fun doing and get all these accolades of being all pro and Pro Bowl and all those things.
It sounds like he's taking a shot at D'Amico still, too, because he's not going to sounds like not going to allow him to do those things either. But I want to ask you. And I know you're a corner and not a safety, but is it easier to play? I mean, I would assume that it's a lot less pressure to be the guy underneath because if you screw up, Jimmy Ward or somebody else is still behind you at free safety, right? If you're the free safety, you're the last line of defense, so it's harder for you to jump routes and stuff because there's more pressure on you, right? So is that what he's talking about? Maybe it's just more freeing and just an easier position to play, and those players tend to get more accolades because they're around the football more.
Yeah, you know, I think it all depends on the defense, but again, I keep going back to Earl Thomas. He was a post safety and made a ton of plays. And that Seattle during that time, I mean, they didn't even play any other coverages really. It was that single high, and they ran some, you know, sky, they ran some fire zone, and they ran their Seattle scheme. And it was like Earl Thomas was always the single high guy, but he was making tons of plays, where Chancellor was the guy kind of being that eraser and playing more down in the box, and then he would make plays from there. But they didn't even really mix it up too often. I mean, very rarely did they mix it up at all. I've seen the 49ers mix it up a lot more, but even then, I think Ward is onto something. Well, of course he is, when he says he only has two jobs in that defense. You're either single high or you are manned up. And a lot of times, third down situations, they'll bring him down to where he's kind of like another just man coverage guy. And he does it extremely well. I think he's very underrated from that aspect, the versatility that he has. I think when people hear versatility, they think, well, he can play corner, he can play slot, he can play safe. But I think just from a safety perspective, like having him as your safety, he can play single high, two high, and also man coverage, you know, in the slot on tight ends and do those things. So, I think for him, though, it just kind of sucks to see some of these other guys be able to roam and do these things and make plays. And people are like, oh, he's so good because he gets these interceptions. I think he's kind of taking shots at that. Like, man, I can do that stuff too. I'm just not allowed to.
All right, a little bit more on Jimmy Ward. I have one more clip there, then we'll talk D'Amador Lenore next. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer. You can't see what he's looking at. He's looking at this screen, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. Then you got to come back and wait for the part to even get there. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket with an endless supply of everything you need for your vehicle. I'm always blown away at how much they have in stock at rockauto.com. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are always the same for everybody and are always reliably low. Just let them know that Locked On sent you. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. No NFL games to bet on, but NBA playoffs are happening and are super fun, especially when you've got a little extra on the line. Major League Baseball every day, all summer long. All your sporting needs, odds, latest news at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action at BetOnline. This is your chance to get into the game. NBA playoffs, there's Triple Crown, horse racing, golf majors happening, the PGA Championship. And not just sports, by the way. A ton of other things to get involved with at BetOnline. There is table games, poker, blackjack, even reality TV and award shows to bet on. Head to the website or use your device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That is promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So Jimmy has done a lot for the 49ers. He was a corner, he was a safety in college, and kind of played a little bit more of that role close to the line of scrimmage and a little bit in the slot and kind of did a little bit of everything. We're seeing a lot of that in the college game where the best player is sort of playing that type of role. We even saw it from Fred Warner. I know some people call it the star position maybe, and it's like an overhang, sort of a safety slash linebacker, and you're covering guys, and you're coming off the edge as a blitzer, and you're in coverage, and so doing a little bit of everything. And most college teams now have found a role for one of their best defenders to get them close to the ball rather than even Jalen Ramsey at times was doing some of those things, because if you're just shutting down one side of the field, you're almost not even impacting the game as much as you could, especially on the college level. And Jimmy Ward did a lot of that. Then he came into the league and they asked him to be a corner, then ended up being a safety again. So this is Jimmy Ward talking about his journey and all the positions he's been asked to play as a 49er.
Man, yes, because I want to say at the beginning of my career, I feel like I took so much heat in the media and just playing out there too. Like, I was moving corner to nickel to safety. Like, I don't know one person that's in the league right now that was able to do that and still have a successful career, like, or still on a team and or not get traded or not get released. And like, I was able to, you know, I was able to stand through a storm, and I'm still here. I'm still with the same team, and my play, my peers love me, teammates and my coaches. So I feel like I'm blessed, and that's why I just got to stay consistent and keep doing what I've always been doing.
I think he has a pretty good point that and actually we're kind of seeing it with Tarvarius Moore a little bit, because if Jimmy Ward's going to play free safety, Tarvarius Moore is probably not going to be a starter, and he went through the exact same thing, corner back to safety, and never ended up getting that job and never ended up being a starter, and will probably move on and not get a second contract with the 49ers. So I think Jimmy Ward has a pretty good point. Not many players bounce around like that position-wise and come out on the other side and have a really nice contract and are looked at as a long-term starter for their team.
Yeah, and a guy that really came to mind when he starts talking about, you know, being traded and things like that, and maybe it wasn't for his play, but Minkah Fitzpatrick. You talked about the star position. I think Minkah really popularized that at Alabama. Came into the NFL. Miami had him at nickel. Then they played him on the outside. Then they played him at safety. And then the next thing, he was traded. Now, I think he requested to be traded or whatever. But
yeah, and so for him, he didn't like all that moving around. That's
he didn't like it. And Ward just is like, well, I'm just going to do what they asked me to do. And that's tough. That's tough. He came into the league playing nickel. Remember, he had that rough game against Brandon Marshall where he gave up like 3 touchdowns. I was like, welcome to the league, rookie, you know. And then the 49ers played him outside. Then they played him at safety. Then they moved him back to corner. Then back to safety. And I'm just like, golly. You know, that's tough, because – you never get a chance to really get settled into one spot and kind of get a feel for that spot, things that you can and can't do. Through that time, he also had several different coordinators. 49ers went through 4 coaches, head coaches in 4 years, where they had different defensive coordinators all those years as well. And everybody had a different plan for Jimmy Ward. And like he said, most guys don't make it through that. So to see him really excelling, and he's not talked about a lot, but he is excelling at what he does. Is really good to see. And the one thing he didn't bring up, I mean, the injuries. He had a lot of injuries early on, and 49er fans were really mad at that and upset when his 5th-year option got picked up. But that's another storm he made it through as well.
And Robert Saleh actually loves Jimmy Ward. He always, like, just was glowing about Jimmy Ward, and it sounds like the team really likes him, and I think some fans wanted to kind of chase him out earlier on when he was bouncing around positions, and I think he does have a lot of value to the 49ers defense, and in-house he's well thought of, and he's got a pretty nice contract too for a safety that doesn't create a lot of turnovers, and maybe that's something that could happen with this defense under D'Amico Ryans if they're a little bit more aggressive. And I think a lot of times there's some luck involved too for defensive backs, because pressure with the front can create turnovers for the back, right? And last year with all the injuries, I think that was a little bit more difficult. But even then, there's been a lack of interceptions. And there's not like there's plays where it's like, oh, man, Jimmy Ward should have gone and intercepted that ball. So I think there's some luck involved. And who knows, maybe it'll come in bunches and all of a sudden he comes down with 7 or 8 interceptions this year.
Yeah, and I think some of it too, when you see him maybe, you know, a half a step late, right, and he gets a big hit, well – some guys, instead of being a half a step late, they're early on it and they jump it and they intercept it. And I think those are the things where it's like maybe there could be slightly better anticipation. But if he's not asked to play like that, and maybe he is asked to play it just a little bit safer, then that could be why it looks like that. Maybe D'Amico Ryans, or Miko as he calls him, allows him to be more aggressive. And where I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, Ward has poor anticipation. Maybe he has great anticipation. And now D'Amico Ryans allows him to utilize that. And then that in turn allows him to generate more takeaways.
There's been a lot of talk recently. I think fans got really excited hearing him talk and got excited about Jimmy Ward and were throwing praise his way. Grant was one of those, actually. He was excited just to hear Ward say that he was listening to his podcast. Do you think Jimmy Ward is one of the more underrated players in the NFL?
Yeah, I think 49ers have a couple of very underrated players between Jimmy Ward and Kawan Williams, two guys that play extremely well at their spots, but they don't get that national media love at all. I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk about Kawan Williams, but very rarely do you hear anyone talk about Jimmy Ward as well. I think I heard Chris Sims bring up Ward and say he was one of the best safeties in the league, but that's the only time I've ever heard anyone mention him. And we have to put an asterisk next to Sims' name because
yeah,
Kyle
we know
is
who's
Ward.
Talking about. We know who's talking him up, right? So you, yeah. That's, again, you know how the 49ers in-house feel about Jimmy Ward and like him. And I think a healthy Tart, too, is pretty underrated for what he can do with how big and athletic he is. So I think the middle of the field on defense, at least in the secondary, the 49ers have a lot of pretty underrated players. And if those guys are healthy this year, I think that'll go a long way into helping that defense and helping out the corners maybe that are a little bit up in the air still and what we're going to see with those guys. Which brings us to actually one more question here before we get to D'Amador Lenore that I have for you, Crocker, is now that we've seen the players and we're going to watch D'Amador, we've talked about Ambry Thomas and all the press he's played and Jimmy Ward talking about maybe there's some wrinkles there and it's not going to be as much of a robber, but there's going to be some wrinkles maybe for Jimmy Ward and hearing Verrett talk and hearing D'Amico Ryan's talk. Do you feel like you have a really good feel for what this is going to look like, and is it going to be a whole bunch of press and a lot more man than we've seen from the 49ers defenses since 2017?
You know, one fantasy of mine is just to see the 49ers do some things that the New England Patriots do. The Patriots run like this man match defense, and it allows guys to, like, if a certain guy kind of like releases one way, like, so everybody will be manned up. You'll have a slot, say a slot, and a lot of times they double whoever the hot hand is on offense, right? I've heard this from one of the McCourty twins. So they'll double whoever has a hot hand. So if I'm in the slot and say there's Robert Woods there, right? And he's been killing them, or he's having a good game, or up until that point, he's been their main guy. You play one guy outside shade on him. If he releases inside, somebody else picks him up, and that guy that was originally on him outside shade in the slot now can then rob something coming from another spot. And it really confuses quarterbacks. It killed Jared Goff in that Super Bowl that they played in. If yeah. the 49ers start to throw things in there like that, where it's a man look, but you're doing some matchup type stuff, that can free up a guy like Jimmy Ward and maybe generate more interceptions because of the confusion that it causes for the quarterback. That would be something really cool. Now, I don't think D'Amico Ryans is from that defensive tree at all. But if maybe he's seen things on film that he really likes and he wants to throw in a quote-unquote wrinkle, that's something that could be very intriguing.
Yeah, that is really intriguing. I love that because you think it's a man, but then a different guy's in man than you thought, and now somebody else is in zone, and that could really screw with the quarterback post-snap it and not have a very clear picture. And if you can muddy up the picture just for a second on an NFL quarterback, then you're going to be ahead of the game. And Jimmy Ward's someone that can do both of those things, and you can roll him up, and all of a sudden he's playing man, and he's got the ability to do that. And so that would be really fun to see the 49ers incorporate some of those things. As far as D'Amico Ryans goes, those old Houston Texans defenses, those were 3-4 defenses, right? So he's just playing a straight-up middle linebacker in a 3-4, like essentially the Patrick Willis role, if I'm not mistaken, right? Isn't that what they were doing early on?
Yeah, I think because they had Watt, and they used him as like a four, like a 3-4 end,
right?
But he could play,
and then he would rush from inside when they were going in nickel, and pretty much everybody in nickel's got a 4-man line,
right?
And then in Philly, they were running more of a straight 4-3. Right when that was the end of D'Amico Ryan's career, he was in Philly. I think those were the only two teams he played for, right? Maybe I'm wrong.
I believe so.
Actually, I'm gonna look.
What,
right,
eight-year career, I believe. And you know, he had like a brief moment where he kind of had a hot hand as a name as a linebacker. I mean, it was like maybe 2 years where people were kind of raving about him a little bit.
Yeah,
then
he was a first round pick. Like, he was a dude for a while. Let's see. Yeah. So the first 6 years of his career were in Houston. Then the last four, 2012 through 2015, were the Philadelphia.
Okay.
Still a young guy. Jeez. Actually, he was drafted the same year Delanie Walker was drafted, 2006.
Wow.
Crazy.
And he's been coaching for the last 4 years now, going on five.
Yeah, D'Amico, 36-year-old defensive coordinator. He'll be turning 37 right around the time camp gets going. Yeah, some people achieve things young when they're young in life. Not me, but you know, get on D'Amico Ryans. But here we go. So this is pretty cool. So they've got it broken down. Right inside linebacker is his position in some of these. Left inside linebacker. So that tells you that that was a 3-4 defense. Yeah, and actually that's in Houston and Philly. So. Who knows? Maybe they'll start incorporating some more odd front stuff. Interesting. Which is talking about the Patriots. They're a multiple front, even odd. Throw a little man in there. Maybe you're onto something, Croc. Okay, I like it.
We'll see.
We have no idea too. And what's great is neither do the rest of the NFC West. Neither does the rest of the league. So obviously, I think a lot of what Robert Saleh started with will be the base. But they already got away from the 2017 Robert Saleh defense by the time 2020 rolled around, so that could just continue to morph. So I really
ran
still
a ton of quarters last year.
And I think it's pretty clear that the cover three is not going to be the main defense. So it's going to be either, you know, cover two, you know, two man quarters. I think we'll see a lot more of that stuff, and even more than we saw last year. So fun stuff.
They have the guys for it.
Yeah, it'll be awesome to track, especially when we get into preseason games, and I'm sure it'll be super vanilla in the preseason, but at least we'll have a little bit of a better idea what kind of shell they're throwing out there on defense. All right, let's talk D'Amador Lenoir, 49ers fifth round pick next. I love Built Bar Day. Got a package in my mailbox today. Built Bar has delicious 9 original flavors, but occasionally you get that limited edition flavor. Grasshopper Cookie showed up. If you love Thin Mints, you're going to love the grasshopper flavor of Built Bar. Only 150 calories in this flavor with a whopping 17 grams of protein and only 5 grams of sugar. The original 9 flavors, coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate. I love the peanut butter flavors. Like, all of the peanut butter flavors are awesome, in my opinion. Goes so great with the consistency. Oh yeah, all bars are covered in 100% chocolate. So go to BuiltBar.com, build your own box of Built Bars, use promo code LOCKED15. You will get 15% off your first order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Most 49ers fans are at least really familiar with one D'Amador Lenoir play so far, and that was from rookie minicamp when he locked up Austin Watkins on that play and roughed him up and then came up, I think, with an interception where they're trying to run a little slant in practice in a one-on-one drill. But what did you see, Croc, in D'Amador in his career at Oregon? Because he played a lot of football there.
Yeah, so there are like 3 different D'Amador Lenoirs, and in each year that I'm saying there's a different one, like he wore a different number. So it literally looks like a different person.
He had number 0, which I kind of like. And I think they were starting to be allowed to wear number 0 in 2020. That was like a brand new thing, right?
Yeah. And then he was 6 the year before that and 15 the year before that. So when I initially laid eyes on D'Amador Lenoir, he was wearing number 15 and locking up N'Keal Harry. So that was when I took notice of him and was like, wow, okay, this is a guy that's playing, you know, extremely aggressive with a guy that everybody's saying is the best receiver in college football. That game actually started making me look at N'Keal Harry a little different, and that kind of resulted in me not being as high on N'Keal Harry as others. And then, you know, I watched him in number 6, and it was really up and down. I watched him against USC, had some really rocky moments. He had an interception that game as well, but as far from just a pure coverage and ability standpoint, you know, kind of evaluating the talent that he is, it was up and down in most of the games that I watched from 2019. Smartly for him, and maybe he has good guidance and somebody in his ear, they told him, hey, come back for another year, 2020. And I watched him in 2020, and it looked like a more confident player, especially against Stanford. I mean, he had this game against Stanford where everything that Eric Crocker wants to see in a prospect at cornerback, he showed that right away, saw the scrappiness. Really kind of fighting with guys before, after whistles, kind of letting them know, like, look, I'm not going to be a punk. And receivers, a lot of guys, they try to set the tone from the jump on how, like, this game is going to go. They want to come off as the aggressor. And he wasn't backing down from guys. So that was the one thing that jumped out to me. Like, I like his mindset, because there are some guys that would just, like, walk away. And, you know, I want my guy to say something back. If you remember back Jimmy Ward, did you see that mic'd up with Jimmy Ward and DK Metcalf?
No, I don't think I saw that.
So, I mean,
I remember Ward was in his face after one play, for sure. I remember that during the game.
there were several plays and Metcalf was trying to basically bully him. And, you know, and I mean, he was talking very aggressive, almost disrespectful, really was disrespectful. But you get a chance to kind of hear it in the mic'd up and you see Ward wasn't a guy that was going back down and he was going to talk his stuff. Diamador Lenore has a little bit of that as well, where you see guys and I can see it on film. I wish I knew what they were saying, but you can see them trying to bully him and he would not back down. So I noted that first and I was like, terrific. I like that. Then I like to look at what type of versatility these guys have, right? Like, can he play press? Can he play off? I want to identify his movement skills. Like, where is he best? And you watch him in that game and you see him off coverage. He looked comfortable. I thought his feet did a lot of the work for him. There are some guys that can't anticipate, but he played very well with his feet, being able to turn around with guys, being able to react on double moves, being able to break down on passes. I thought he did well there. At the line of scrimmage, I thought he could be a little bit better, not creating so much space. There are some guys that line up and press, and you know, press is in alignment. And then jamming is a technique. And there are a bunch of other techniques that you can use. There's feather, inch, motor, all these different techniques that some guys use at the line of scrimmage. He motors out, but I thought he just motored out a little bit too much to where you're creating so much space for the receiver. Then when he decides to go vertical, you just open up and run and you never touch them. And now you guys are 6 yards downfield and he never gets touched. But then...
And when you say motor, for those listening, you're talking about like a press bail type of technique, right?
No, so the press bail is press bail. Like press and then open up like you're getting ready to run, that's a press bail.
Okay.
Motor is I'm kind of staying square, but I'm just moving my feet and backing up as the receiver is moving towards me.
Gotcha, okay.
And if you do it too much, if you motor out too much, then you just create too much space between you and the receiver. You create the space that he wants. So you don't want to do that. And I thought he just did that a little too much. But then he gets to 49ers rookie minicamp, and the first rep we see is him making the receiver work laterally. And that's what we want. We want to really make the receiver work laterally at the line of scrimmage. He made him work laterally. He had to fight through him. And then he intercepted the ball. And that was a terrific. I know a lot of people are like, well, the receiver, he slipped and this and the other. And it's like, well, the corner played it extremely well. And then for him to be able to react and catch the ball the way he did, showed tremendous ball skills. If that's any indication of what he potentially is going to be with the 49ers, then you have a good cornerback on your hands.
And I wonder how much of that one route he knew. Like, did he know a slant was coming? Was he kind of sitting on that? Because he wasn't worried about any kind of double move where a dude was going to take off either. So he was just like right there and was jumping on it. And what's funny is Austin Watkins is a pretty physical receiver. And I got the feeling that Austin Watkins is going to be somebody who looks a little bit better when they put the pads on and stuff. But and because like he will, you know, he'll hit people and he would block people at the college level. But it was a, you know, it was a lower college level. So seeing someone from the Pac-12, seeing someone like Demo, and I'm sure he saw a lot of players like that at the Senior Bowl, because Austin Watkins was at the Senior Bowl and there were some good reports from him there. But it was funny that the one thing that I thought I would see most from Austin Watkins as a sign for the future was how physical he was. And Demo is a lot smaller and he matched him physically. In fact, he won that rep physically.
Well, it's all about a mindset. And I think if you ask Demo, and he said as much in his press conference, like, I'm a hyena, right? So he's doing the attacking. He wants to be the aggressor. Maybe he's not as big as a, you know, a lion, but it's like, dude, I'm going to fight, you know, throughout this rep. And I think he showed a lot of fight on that rep. People look at it like that's just one rep. And it is just one rep in the sense of you want to stack reps on top of reps as far as, you know, having good reps. But you want to also see signs of what this guy can be. And if you see that, then you just look to build a consistency on that. But from a movement standpoint, things like that, you want to see that because he's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy. So he's going to have to figure out different ways to win. I think being a scrappy guy, something that can help. I watched him against Arizona State 2019 and what Darby and Brandon Ayuk were doing to him. Ayuk, if you remember, had that 80-yard or 85-yard touchdown to seal the game-winning.
Win down the left sideline?
Well, that was Diamador Lenore in coverage.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he had a tough time against that caliber of receiver, but then you see him come back, you see him getting better. You look at rookie minicamp. Again, you start to hear guys talking about him. Verrett was talking him up a little bit, but those are the things you want to see, some positive signs of what this guy can be, for a fifth-round pick.
Where would you put his just raw athleticism, his movement skills? Would that be in the plus column or the negative column for you?
Yeah, no, it was in the plus. From a feet, you know, I didn't see clunky feet. I didn't see you know, poor change of direction. You know, I thought he challenged himself well in space. Those are all things you want to see. Again, I watched the Arizona State game, and it was not pretty.
So if anything, more just length and pure long speed would be the thing to worry about maybe with him?
I think with that, it was like, and I don't want to challenge him in any way, but it almost looked like he was scared. And I don't want to say he was scared because he's a hyena, right? And we saw that. But if you just if I didn't know anything else about him and I just watched just that game, the way he was playing Ayuk and Darby and kind of getting out of there and not really challenging himself to be able to be aggressive with the guys, I would lean more towards he was worried about maybe something that they could possibly do to him. That's what it looked like on film.
So when you look at the complete package of Diamador Lenore, are you seeing a long-term slot type of corner? Are you seeing an outside corner? Seeing a guy who could do a little bit of both? Because a lot of the things you're explaining sounds a lot like K'Wan Williams. So I think that's a natural progression of him being maybe even the heir apparent for K'Wan inside.
Yeah, you know, I think ideally for someone that isn't, you know, doesn't maybe have like, you know, the elite size or ideal size that you would look for in the cornerback. Obviously, he's big enough. You know, you would think, especially with his scrappiness and his ability to kind of defeat blocks and those things, you would think slot is an ideal spot for him, especially since in the slot you don't face a whole lot of vertical pushing routes. But, I mean, you know, I like to see, you know, he played outside extremely well. And it didn't look like an issue, especially against him, watching him against Simi Fehoko, who is a 6'4", 220-pound receiver. So if you can hold your own against that receiver and cause those type of fits vertically with him or, you know, even underneath, then I think he just basically gives you the value of being able to play both spots. And that's what I like most about cornerbacks. Can you play inside, outside? Because I never know what type of receiver you might have to face. I want you to have the ability to be able to guard all shapes and sizes.
And I know you've said in the past that you would rather see a guy who's really good in man and you could teach him zone a little bit just because that's more difficult. Did you get a chance in most of the stuff we talk about when we're looking at scouting reports is, you know, how can a guy man up on his opponent? But what about the zone part of the game? If he was playing maybe that cover three on the outside, do you think he's a fit for that?
Yeah, I think, you know, for the most part, what I saw, I noted that he had, you know, good anticipation from, you know, even zone. I watched him against, you know, I talked about the interception he had against USC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a zone play and he was able to undercut a route and pick it off. So you can tell that he, you know, Oregon, they did a lot of different things with their defensive backs, put him in positions where you could at least see everything put on display. I thought he showed fairly well. Fifth round pick, it might just be because maybe there was inconsistent play, not so much because he just is a complete lack of talent.
Actually have the USC game up. It was kind of up in the background. And that play you're talking about, that was a very Richard Sherman-like play because, first of all, he's at the left corner position playing off in his zone and essentially just jumps a comeback route or jumps a hook on the outside. And
yeah,
that was a fantastic cover three, sort of a zone look that he might get asked to do a lot. So, yeah, I like it. Outside, inside versatility, has some scrappiness to him. Very likely a player that's going to stick, even if he's not, say, you know, a number one or even number two outside starter, right? A guy that seems like he's going to have a chance to be in the league for a while. As a fifth-round pick, right. That's not bad.
Not bad. Now what he's going to have to do is something that he probably hasn't done before, got to be a good special teamer.
And
you know, there's something to that too. So we'll see if they, you know, they're going to ask him, they're going to put him on there. That's when you start to find out what they think about you. Me, they didn't put me on special teams, New York Jets. So I was like, oh, my time might be limited, right? So with him,
it's a different breed, man. Full speed, yeah. Like that collision that could happen down the field. Like it's, you got to be a little bit nutty. And I think that's why there's so many players in the league that are only special teamers and they're just kind of built different, right? A little screw loose, maybe.
Yeah, and I think my screws were just a little too tight. Not, you know, I need them to be a little looser so I can kind of make a niche on special teams. Just didn't have it.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, good stuff. That's Diamador Lenore, and we'll continue to talk about all of these rookies too and get deeper into them throughout the offseason and break down all of their reps in training camp and OTAs and mini camps and whatever you get to see. And, of course, the preseason games, we'll be getting deep into all these guys all the way down past player number 53 on the roster. That is coming. Locked On 49ers. Be back next week. Talk to you then.